Thank you. Today we are looking at the first half of Matthew chapter 27. So we are looking at the first 31 verses. And the theme here is Jesus appears before Pilate. Today's study is about the purposeful suffering of Christ, emphasizing Judas hanging himself. Our Lord Jesus' trial before Pilate, the crowd choosing Barabbas, Jesus being delivered by Pilate to the Jews to be crucified, and finally, the soldiers mocking him. So let's start with Jesus being delivered to Pilate. Matthew chapter 27, from verse 1 and 2. When the morning was come, and all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Before Jesus was delivered to Pilate, the chief priests, together with the elders of the people, had condemned Jesus to death. However, they could not proceed to kill him. This was because prior to this event, the Romans had taken from the Jews the power of capital punishment, and therefore they could not put to death any man. That was why the Jews had to deliver Jesus to Pilate so that he might execute the sentences they had passed, the sentence they had passed upon him. It is insightful to note that delivering Jesus to Pontius Pilate, who represents the Gentiles, is to make both the Jews and the Gentiles responsible for the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, the whole of humanity, including you and I, are responsible for the death of Christ. Luke chapter 11, verse 49 to 51. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send them prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets which was shed from the foundation of the world may be required of this generation, from the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, shall be required of this generation. As we can see, Judah at this time of history was being ruled by Rome, with Pilate as the Roman governor of Judea. According to Jacob's prophecy to his son Judah, when the scepter, a symbol of rulership, has departed from Judah, then it means that Shiloh must come. That is in Genesis chapter 49, verse 10. The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh come. Unto him shall the gathering of the people be. According to Strong, Shiloh is an attribute of a person and comes from tranquil, which means free from disturbance or calm. This implies that Shiloh here represents Christ, the Prince of Peace. Does the rulership having departed from Judah, as we saw that as we saw that the Romans were in charge, it means that the time of Christ has come. However, the leaders of the church system of Jesus' day, together with the people, were not given to know that Christ has come. The same is happening today. Christ has come to us in the Spirit, bringing peace. And therefore, we represent Christ here on earth. However, the church system of this world or Babylon has no clue of this, as they mistreat us, not knowing that they are mistreating Christ, just as the church leaders and the people of Jesus, they mistreated him. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14 to 16. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ and makes manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one, we are the savor of death unto death, and to the other, the savor of life unto life. And who is sufficient for these things? Judas hangs himself. Matthew chapter 27, from verse 3 to 5. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, what is that to us? See thou to that. And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. Here we are told that Judah repented of himself when he realized that Jesus had been condemned to die. Judas hanging himself shows us that he had no place of repentance, because true repentance results in bringing forth fruit worthy of repentance. It is not enough to realize that we have sinned. We must go the extra step of doing what is consistent with our repentance. The fact that he killed himself means that he did not bring forth the fruit commensurate with his repentance, and therefore it means that he found no place of repentance. Luke chapter 3, verse 8. Bring forth therefore fruit worthy of repentance, and begin not to say within yourself, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. Hebrews 12, from verse 15 to 17. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Lest there be any fornicator or profane person as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For you know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected. For he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. When he regretted his actions, Judas brought back the 30 pieces of silver that he sold Jesus for to the chief priests and elders. The number 30 signifies our reward of rulership when the kingdoms of this world becomes the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Genesis chapter 41, verse 46. And Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. 2 Samuel chapter 5, verse 4. David was 30 years old when he began to reign, and he reigned 40 years. So it means that the number 30 means rulership. What this means is that Judas rejected the reward of rulership because of the love of money, which is the root of all evil. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Our crown here is our rulership. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9-10. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. It is also worth noting that when Judas confessed that he had sinned and betrayed an innocent man, the response of the chief priests and the elders was that it meant nothing to them. That is in verse 4. This implies that their conscience was seared with a hot iron. A person with conscience seared with a hot iron is a state where a person's inner moral compass or conscience becomes numb, insensitive, and unresponsive to right and wrong due to habitual sin and deception. This was the state of the leaders of the church system in Jesus' time. And it applies to the leaders and the adherents of the church system of this world, that is Babylon today. We also had our conscience seared with hot iron at a certain stage of our walk with Christ when we were in the church system of this world, until the Lord had mercy on us. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1 and 2, it says, "Now the Spirit speaks expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of devil, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron." These verses in Timothy show us how we come to this state of having our conscience seared with a hot iron. It is when we give heed to seducing spirit and doctrines of the devil that our conscience are gradually seared. Matthew chapter 27 from verses 2-8. "And the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, 'It is not lawful for to put them into the treasury, because it is the place of, it is the price of blood.' And they took counsel and brought with them the porter's field to bury strangers in. Wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day." It is important to note that the price of 30 pieces of silver paid to Judas denotes the price paid for the hire of a war, and is also equivalent to the price of a dog. It is therefore against the word of the Lord to bring the price of a dog in the house of God. Deuteronomy chapter 23, verse 18. "Thou shalt not bring the hire of a war or the price of a dog into the house of the Lord thy God for any vow, for even both these are abomination unto the Lord thy God." The silver pieces represents the blood, the price of blood. The question is, what is the price of blood? When Jesus was praying in Gethsemane, his sweat became like great drops of blood. This, the price of blood, represents our labor or sweat in this life. Luke chapter 22, verse 44 says, "And being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as it were great drops of blood falling down to the ground." The treasury is a special place of the Jerusalem temple where worshippers deposited various offerings. We know that the temple is our body, and therefore it is in our hearts and mind that we have the treasury. This implies that the chief priest saying that it was not lawful to put into the treasury the money representing Jesus' betrayal because it is the price of blood signifies that we should not labor for food or the things of this world which perishes. John 6:27, "Labor not for the meat which perishes, but for that meat which endures unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him has God the Father sealed." It is important to note in verses 7 and 8, that the chief priest took the money left by Judas and bought the potter's field to bury strangers. The strangers here are those who are not Jews. We know that we are spiritual Jews and not those who are physical descendants of Abraham. Therefore, strangers are all those who are not the Lord's elect. Romans chapter 20, chapter 2, verse 28 and 29. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Verses 7 and 8 therefore show us that the leaders of the church system of this world use the resources or the labor of their adherents to make them spiritually dead. Because they use the money, the chief priests, and they use the money to buy a place to bury the dead, strangers. Making our brothers and sisters in Babylon spiritually dead is through false doctrines. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 18 makes this one clear. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity and the false doctrines, they are led through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escaped from them who live in error. Verses 19 to 21. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are servants of corruption. For of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollution of the world through the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, and the soul that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Matthew chapter 27, verse 9 and 10. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremy, the prophet, saying, and they took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me. We can see from these verses that it is the Lord who has appointed that the labor or resources of our brothers and sisters in Babylon be used to make them blind. That means to buy a field to bury the dead. Matthew chapter 13, verse 13 to 15. He says, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. And in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which says, by hearing you shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing you shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is wax gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, and should understand with their hearts, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jesus before Pilate. Matthew chapter 27, verse 11 to 14. And Jesus stood before the governor, and the governor asked him, saying, art thou the king of the Jews? And Jesus said unto him, thou sayest. And when he was accused of the chief priests and elders, he answered nothing. Then said Pilate unto him, hearest thou not how many things they witness against thee? And he answered him to never a word, insomuch that the governor marveled greatly. It is instructive to know that when Christ was asked whether he was a king of the Jews, he witnessed a good confession, and was not ashamed to own himself a king. Being king of the Jews means that he's the Lord of his elect in this age, since we are the spiritual Jews. In the fullness of time, when the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of the world, his lordship over the whole of humanity shall be made known. Psalm 24, verse 1, a psalm of David. The earth is the Lord's, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. On the other hand, Jesus did not respond to the false accusations of the chief priests and the elders. This was to fulfill what was written about him regarding the fact that he did not open his mouth, just like a lamb which does not open his mouth when being led to the slaughter. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He was brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is down, so he opened not his mouth. You must note that the Lord's will was to do the will of his Father, and his Father's will was for Jesus to be willing to be sacrificed as a lamb for the sin of the whole of this world. This means that he could not complain or talk back to his accusers to exonerate himself, irrespective of their false accusations. John chapter 6, verse 39, 38 and 39. For I came down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will which has sent me, that of all which he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again in the last day. The crowd chooses Barabbas. Matthew chapter 27, 14 to 18. Now, at that feast, the governor wanted to release unto the people a prisoner whom they would. And they had then a notable prisoner called Barabbas. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto him, "Whom will ye that I release unto you, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ?" For he knew that for envy they had delivered him. According to the custom of the Roman governors, for the honoring of the Jews and to grace the feast of the Passover, the prisoner is released. This custom actually was an obstruction of justice, as it encourages wickedness, as we see many of our customs of this world not aligned with the word of the Lord. Barabbas was a hardened criminal of which the people were aware. Luke chapter 23, verse 18 and 19. And they cried out all at once, saying, "Away with this man, and release unto us Barabbas, who for a certain sedition made in the city and for murder was cast into prison." Jeremiah 10:3 says, "For the customs of the people are vain. For one cuts a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe." Customs, our customary issues, most of them are vain. Pilate thought that his proposal would cause the release of Jesus, as he knew it was because of envy that the high priest wanted him killed, and that it was not Jesus' guilt, but his goodness, which they were provoked at. Matthew chapter 27, verse 19. When he was set down on the judgment seat, his wife sent unto him, saying, Have thou nothing to do without just man? For I have suffered many things this day in a dream because of him." Pilate's wife's assertion that Jesus was a just man is to affirm the fact that Jesus was the Lamb without blemish and without spot, who was offered for our sins. 1 Peter 1, 19 and 20 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you and me." It was through a dream that Pilate's wife came to know that Jesus was a just man. Throughout the Bible, we can see that the Lord uses dreams as a form of communication to the people of this world, including our brothers and sisters in Babylon, and also to his elect, especially in our immature state. Knowing the Lord through His Word is a mature way the Lord communicates with us, His elect. Jeremiah 23, 27 says, "Which think to cause my people to forget my name by their dreams, which they tell every man to his neighbor, as their fathers have forgotten my name for Baal." The prophet that has a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that has my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is chaff to the wheat? Now, I want you to note that Jesus said here, what is chaff to the wheat? So the chaff is the prophet that has a dream, compared with he that has the word of God. Anyway, says the Lord. The verses above show us that many are deceived by dreams. Does it mean that every dream is about the Lord speaking to us? The answer is no. This is because the Lord has indicated that our dreams are sometimes the results of the multitude of business. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 3. For a dream comes through the multitude of business, and a fool's voice is known by a multitude of words. What we need to know about dreams is that there's a need for it to be interpreted. And when we know the word of the Lord and their spiritual significance, it becomes easier to interpret dreams. Daniel chapter 4, verse 6. Therefore made I a decree to bring in all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Matthew chapter 27, verse 20 to 23. But the chief priests and elders persuaded the multitude that they should ask Barabbas and destroy Jesus. The governor answered and said unto them, "Whether of the two will you that I release unto you?" And they said, "Barabbas." Pilate said unto them, "What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ?" And they all say unto him, "Let him be crucified." And the governor said, "Why? What evil has he done?" And they cried out the more, saying, "Let him be crucified." The chief priests and the elders, influencing the people to vote for the release of Barabbas, signifies that it is the leaders of the church system of this world causes our brothers and sisters to err. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 14 and 15 says, "The judgment is turned away backwards, and justice stands afar off. For truth is falling in the streets, and equity cannot enter. Yea, truth fails, and he that departed from evil makes himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him that there was no judgment in his own case." Isaiah chapter 5, verse 7. "For the vineyard of the Lord of hosts is the house of Israel, and the men of Judah his pleasant plant. And he looked for judgment, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry." Isaiah 5:13. "Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge, and their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst." Pilate delivers Jesus to be crucified. Matthew chapter 27, verse 24 to 26. When Pilate saw that he could prevail nothing, but that rather a tumult was made, he took water and washed his hands before the multitude, saying, "I am innocent of the blood of this just person. See ye to it." Then answered all the people and said, "His blood be on us and on our children." Then released he Barabbas unto them. And when he had scourged Jesus, he delivered him to be crucified. Pilate confessing that he was innocent of the blood of Jesus is to highlight Jesus, the lamb without spot or wrinkle, which was sacrificed for our sins. Pilate washing his hands before the people to signify his innocence of the blood of Christ does not absolve him from being a partaker of the killing of our Lord Jesus Christ. This is because he had authority to release Jesus, but wanted to please the Jews. Of course, Jesus must be put to death as atonement for our sins. But woe to those who were directly involved in his death. Spiritually, when we cause our brothers and sisters to stumble in their walk with the Lord, we are putting Jesus to death. Luke chapter 17, verse 1 and 2. Then said he unto his disciples, it is impossible, but that offenses will come. But woe unto him through whom they come. It was better for him that a millstone were hung upon about his neck and he cast into the sea than that he should offend one of these little ones. Isaiah chapter 53, verse 3. Going, he says, he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrow, acquainted with grief, and we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteem him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with the stripes we are healed. The response of the people that the blood of Jesus be on them and their children is true in every generation. This makes every man or woman in every generation responsible for the death of our Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 11, 49 to 51. Therefore also said the wisdom of God, I will send the prophets and apostles, and some of them they shall slay and persecute, that the blood of all the prophets, which was shed from the foundation of the world, may be required of this generation. From the blood of Abel unto the blood of Zacharias, which perished between the altar and the temple. Verily I say unto you, it shall be required of this generation. Jesus is mocked. Matthew 27, verses 27 to 31. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus into the common hall and gathered unto him the whole band of soldiers, and they stripped him and put on him a scarlet robe. And when they had plaited a crown of thorns, they put it upon his head and a reed in his right hand, and they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. And they spit upon him and took the reed and smote him on the head. And after they had mocked him, they took the robe off from him and put his own garment on him and led him away to crucify him. Jesus went through a lot for our sake. What helped him to go through this suffering was his focus on the reward that was set before him. As he is, so are we. We must also be motivated by the joy that is set before us to be able to endure the present suffering. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2. I think it goes further. I mean, starting from verse 2. Yeah, I think it's up to verse. Verse 11, Hebrews 12, from verse 2 to verse 11. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Consider him that endures the contradictions of sinners against himself, lest he be wearied and faint in your minds. You have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which speaks unto you as unto children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art removed of him. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens, and scourges every son whom he receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the father chastens not? And if you be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then you are bastard and not sons. Furthermore, we have had fathers of our flesh which correct us, and we give them reverence. Shall we not much rather be in subjection unto the Father of Spirit and live? For they vary for a few days, chasing us after their own pleasure. But he for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness. Now, no chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. May his name be praised for his wonderful plan of salvation. Amen.